35.
Hello?
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Hey, sorry. Yeah, I've got some issues with my phone. It's not me hanging up on you, so apologize about that. So I think I figured out the situation, and I'm sorry. I wish Ari was here to help me, because I think he knows you guys a little better, correct? And all the moving parts?
He did several years ago.
Yeah. Okay, so here's kind of what we could do, and I think I can kind of understand what's going on right now. We've got two separate entities. We've got a business in Texas. We've got a business in Florida. So you kind of have to ask yourself, well, what can each business do? In terms of truck financing, if the new business in Texas, here's your challenge. We can look at each file separately, but we have to look at each file separately. So
well,
I think there's
would it be simpler to do one or not?
Well, say that again.
Would it be simpler if you just did it under one entity, Jason?
Well, there's no bank account for this other one, so it depends. But here's my thought process, kind of. I'm here to prevent certain obstacles. Here's the challenge. There's a new business. There's a few different programs, and they're all underwritten differently. So my job is to kind of see through walls and look around corners and kind of tell you what some obstacles are and what's available for you. So what's available for each business? We're going to kind of go backwards. In Florida, what's available? Well, the equipment is being used by the business in Texas. So you can't finance the inherent challenge is you can't finance equipment for one business underneath another business. It won't work because you'll have an invoice that will say, hey, you're shipping equipment to Texas to a different business. It's just, it will not make sense. Additionally, the whole challenge our underwriters will have is if this equipment is going into another business over a long-term basis, it's one thing to do a short rental, but if it's there at 5 years, it's really not a collateralized loan in their mind because the challenge is if you default and they go pick up that equipment, a lot of those businesses will say, it's not yours. We rented this. We have a contract. And so you'll have conflicting interests because
they would never say that, but I could get something in writing, you know.
It wouldn't matter.
In way that my equipment, I can move it any time, you know.
I understand. I'm just trying to tell you kind of what the underwriters will say and the funders will say. So here is my thought process on what the best available program is for you if you're interested now that I understand it. The other issue is you've got absentee ownership. You want to sign on this, but you live in Texas, and when you're in a different state across the country, it's called absentee ownership. So this is my general thought, and I don't want to like dissuade you from your business. It's just I'm not Ari. I have very limited knowledge of kind of how the transaction was pieced together, but this is my general thought if you were just a first-time customer. You've got a bank business with a functioning bank account that's registered in Florida. The person on that bank statement is someone named Mervin. Now,
like I said, I can add my name, but I can't add to the previous months, you know?
No, I don't say you're not going to add to the previous months. Here is my general thought process and kind of my idea. This is my idea. You've got a functioning business in Florida with a revenue stream. That's where the money is coming in and out of. I'm going to pop open those bank statements and give you my thoughts. So let's take a look at this. Give me a second. Sorry, this is just a very confusing file that I did not understand. Okay. So if you look at the bank account, you guys are running about $30,000 a month, give or take. So 20 to 30 grand. Some months less, some months worse, but nothing, you know, outrageous, bad. There's nothing that's going to dissuade the lender or us from lending you money. Some of the months end pretty light. So in the beginning of February, it ends pretty light. Now that I look at all these accounts, I know you got the personal account from Mervin. Do you still work with Mervin?
Say that again?
Do you still work with Mervin?
Yeah.
Okay. So in the month of April, the bank accounts ended pretty light. Let's see the other months. But it looks like you guys are kind of growing the business. So
my money, you know, buying machines like crazy.
Okay. So here's my thought process. With all the moving parts, and the credit I'm seeing and the out-of-state ownership, this is where my brain goes to. The most appropriate program for you, or that I think that will qualify and most importantly fund. Qualification is different than funding. There's a lot of files that honestly they die once documents are signed because underwriters can't figure out and get it to the finish line. So this is my thought process. You got a business in Florida. You got a functioning revenue stream.
Mm-hmm.
That makes the most sense for a lending decision. The amount of money you would probably do is called did I already ever discuss with you a working capital loan or no?
No.
Okay. So a working capital loan is going to be probably the most appropriate solution because it's based on revenues and it's flexible, easy, and fast. And that's going to probably make more sense than going down the collateralized route, although I'm more than happy to do that. I just don't think our underwriters will understand because you've got absentee ownership. They're not going to understand. So here's what I would think. Use the business in Florida. Do a working capital loan against that, what's called a starter business loan. You start off with us, and the good thing about these loans is you can get more money quickly. So these loans are going to be done over usually a 6 to 12 month period, and you can apply for refinancing as early as 50% in. So let me give you an example. If you do a 9-month loan, you can ask for more money in 45 days. Now, the amount of money you should expect, your bank statements are a bit volatile, and I don't want to overpromise you. The bank statements you're looking at are probably, you're probably going to be offered a starter loan in the range of, I'd say, 10 to 20 grand. That's a general idea that I would do, and I can give you a decision today, but 10 to 20 grand, assuming it qualifies. So if you do a 9-month loan, once you're 4.5 months in, you can apply for more money. However, there's another flip side to this. It's figuring out the ownership. So the document you sent to me, I don't want to forward that to our underwriters because they say that file was generated today. So,
yeah.
And I think that causes more issues. It looks like we're kind of, so I guess the question is this, do you know what Mervin's credit looks like?
He tells me it's still very good.
Okay. He has good credit. Okay, and you don't have bad credit. Yours is just limited. I don't really
my
have
credit
like,
is going to get better probably in the next 2-3 weeks because I have a very high debt ratio.
I'm not concerned with that. Your credit is just recent. You have a lower score, but I don't think you have bad credit.
Saying is I'm going to bring the score up if that helps. I'm definitely bringing it up regardless. I already started. It's not for you. Just that I have some credit cards that are joint with my father, and that really crashed my score. That's why my debt to ratio is so high. And I removed myself from those credit cards, and I think that's going to improve my credit.
Okay. I mean, here's
if the interest is, if the interest is wildly high, I might wait. And I might not, you know, because it's actually holding me back from making more money if I wait, you know.
No, and these are all about opportunity loans. So here's what I think is going on, and I'm not here to force money down your throat. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, the worst thing you can say is no. I think the working capital loan is a better avenue than, like, the truck or the vending machine financing based on my thought of the transaction. I think the challenge is, your tax return shows light revenues, and there's these whole ownership issues. But I think if we present both owners on most of our files, we can go up to at least $50,000, if not $100,000. Now, you're not going to qualify for that for the first time out, but we can typically go $50,000 to $100,000 without providing a tax return. I can also provide the tax return. I'm just concerned of, you know, what's really, you know, because we don't have that ownership schedule, and I don't want to create an issue between you and your accountant. So here's what I would need. On the application you sent me, the whole confusion our underwriters have is, it says Texas, but the business is in Florida. These are two separate entities. So what we need is this. We need an application for the Florida location. We also, with the Florida data on it. Where it says owners and officers information, we should have two applications. One should be with your information. One should be with Mervin's information.
I'd rather leave Mervin off. Because right now, we're not partners. We may become partners. So, we're talking about 10 to 20. You know, that would definitely help me. And then down the road...
Here's my challenge. I'm not going to force this issue. It's not in my personality to be confrontational at all. I'm just going to tell you kind of the issue that I would have. if you want, you can reapply just by yourself under your business. You can apply just the Florida location, because that's where the revenue stream is. Here's the two challenges that I'm just kind of telling you, because it could make your life difficult, and just so you know, it could make the fun, not your life, it could make the funding process difficult. Number one, you're going to be signing for a Florida business. Mm-hmm. You're in a different state. I don't know if that will fly. I don't want to overpromise you. I do not know if it will fly. The second thing is this. On most working capital loans, we need majority. These loans don't go under personal credit, by the way. None of our loans go under personal credit. They go under business credit. And so we need verification of ownership if we have multiple signers that the person we're presenting has majority ownership of the company. The issue that I have is the tax return doesn't show any ownership, and the document you just sent was just drafted, but it's not even signed. And so the issue...
I could have signed it, but I wanted to show it to you first. You know?
Yeah, and so I guess the issue I would have is this. When you guys are filing tax returns over the last few years, is Mervyn now not an owner? Is this a recent issue, or is this something new? And the reason I'm mentioning that is this. Underwriters,
honestly, I'm going to be straightforward. He's never been an owner. He did this to help me out because he had perfect credit, and he used to work for me. Actually, still works for me.
Okay, I mean the challenge that I have is, what I would need is I need an application with the Florida information, because that's where the revenue stream is coming from. The only kind of FYI that I'm giving you, because I'm not trying to make your life difficult. Don't think that way. I hope it's not coming across that way. Is Mervyn's on the SOS. He's also the only one on the bank statements. And so what will happen is, in ways that underwriters, it's kind of an unwritten rule, is what they think we'll try to do is, the underwriter will probably think that we're trying to hide Mervyn's information from the transaction. You're saying he has good credit, but from the underwriter's mind frame, they're going to think typically that this guy's on the bank statements. He's the only one on the bank statements. He's on the SOS. There's nothing in documentation to prove he's an owner, and we can say all, you can, you know, I can tell them all day long that you're 100% owner, but what they think, they'll probably think I'm trying to do is, they'll probably think I'm trying to hide the fact that he has really bad credit, or there's some kind of pending lawsuit against him. And but that's not what's going on right now. What's going on right now is you're saying that he has good credit, and so I think it opens, and I'm just here to give you options, it opens more questions right now. It opens a can of worms to have someone on Secretary of State, have them be the one that's in Florida, and just say, well, no, have this guy in Texas sign, but there's no verification. So I'll do whatever you want. I'm not going to fight you on that. That's not my role here at Bank of Cardiff. I'm just trying to give you some options.
All right, well, what is the simplest way of doing this?
Well, it's a choice, right? So here's my two cents for you without guarantee. And just so you know, I'm not allowed to guarantee you any type of funding, okay?
No.
But here's my thought process. If we have an application with both people in the Secretary of State, both people, and the guy in the bank statements, there's a significant chance our underwriters say, hey, you know what? We're not talking about $200,000 here. Here's a quick $20,000. We won't ask for tax returns to fund the transaction. That's it. Just fund the deal. No big deal.
That's putting his name on it.
Well, having both people sign. Both, not one. Mm-hmm. However, let's just say the opposite scenario. I submit just your information.
Mm-hmm.
What are some possible challenges? Well, underwriter's going to come back and say, well, here's their kind of two cents. You're asking for an unsecured cash loan. The person on the bank statement, we cannot see their information. The person on the SOS, we cannot see the information. And so the person who is actually in Florida, we can't see their information. So you're asking us to give an unsecured cash loan to a business where the person that is all over documentation is refusing to present their information, and most importantly, the person who is signing isn't even in that state. Now, I can do that, but you do run the risk of kind of alienating some underwriters on some of these programs, which it's my job to tell you, and B, more importantly, I don't have any documentation. If I had an actual contract or something that goes back a few years that shows you own the business, then I can kind of push it. But from an underwriter's perspective, they think I'm trying to hide something.
Yeah,
I have no intention to hide anything. And what I would think is that this is my two cents. Don't make a decision now. the two pieces, just I would kind of marinate on those two decisions, take an hour or two, think about it, and then give me a call back. If you want me to proceed with just your information, that's fine. Just shoot me the application with just the Florida information. But I just do kind of foresee messiness because there's no documentation I have that proves you own the majority of the business. And we have four primary underwriters who will work on files like this. And for this loan amount, this time in business, this type of credit. And I'm just telling you that off my mind, three of them require tax return ownership or verification of at least 66% ownership, majority ownership. And so the challenge is, I can't prove, you sound like a straightforward guy, which I appreciate, but I can't prove that you own the company.
And even though, it doesn't say owner, but even though I'm the COO on a legitimate Florida corporation website.
Well, he's the president.
Yeah,
he's the first one listed.
Yeah.
That's the problem. They'll think they'd rather pass, and it's frustrating for me as a rep here, but they'd rather pass on a file than go into a transaction not understanding what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have an underwriter that potentially, hey, they would let it fly with 5% ownership. They don't care. But they could come back to you and just say, hey, look, you know what? You're both listed. He's the president, so give us our tax return. I don't think they make a discrepancy in whether what your title is. You know, on these websites, on Secretary of State, anyone can put any title. I don't think there's a preference of president versus COO. But he is the first one listed. And most importantly, from just a layman's perspective, he's the one listed on the bank statements. That's an inherent issue. If you were the one listed on the bank statements, I would think there's more push. But the underwriter will think in this situation 9 out of 10 times that the customer or the rep is trying to hide information and they'll pass. And so I don't think that's going on. I'm just trying to kind of tell you the options. But if we have any documentation that shows that you're the full owner, then that's one thing. But I'm not, like I said, I'm not here to make your life difficult. I'm just, now that I'm
set up. You want to make it work, I understand.
Yeah. Well, I want to help you out. You got two different companies. So the one that should be underwritten here for capital, for cash to help you make the purchase, is the Florida business.
I actually had a third corporation, which is probably not going to help, but I had a third corporation, which I closed around April and May. It was called Royal Crown.
Well, this is all about revenue stream. So you've got to link the bank account. You've got to link the bank account to the business.
Mm-hmm.
That's the challenge for you. Do you want to think about what you want to do and just give it a minute and give me a call?
Well, let's just end it at this. Is there something that we can try now by submitting a new application with just one person so we don't burn out bridges all over the place?
Yeah, I have one program. I mean, if you want, shoot me. I have one program I can shoot for. You can shoot me over your application. Just, you know, it's going to be a soft inquiry, so it's not going to be a hard inquiry on the credit. You'd get an approval or decline letter in the mail as an FYI, but there won't be a hard inquiry. Shoot over the application to me with your information on it, and I'll ask them to process it. The worst they can do is tell me no.
Yeah. And how long does it take for that process to get approved?
They'll come back to me in 2 to 4 hours.
Oh, quick. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's start there.
Okay.
You know, I'm trying to keep myself as the owner. That's why I'm trying to keep Mervyn off of it, you know?
I understand. At the end of the day,
he's got no skin in the game, you know?
You know, I can just tell, my goal is to give you options based on the here and now presented, and that's just my general thoughts. Because, like I said, I don't want to get you an approval, and then you have signed loan documents, and it goes to funding, and you get frustrated. And that happens a lot in our industry, where people can't get their loans funded because they can't verify information, which I'm sure you're aware of with loans.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have you send me over the application with your name on it. I'll push it through, and I'll get you an answer in 2 to 4 hours and let you know if it will fly.
All right. And let me ask you one more thing. Like I said, I'm going to be able to get my credit score over 600 in the next couple of weeks. Will that change the situation at all, or doesn't it matter?
This is about ownership, not credit.
Yeah, gotcha. And one final question. I know you got other things to do, but no affidavit we could sign me and Mervyn that I'm the owner?
I'm sorry?
There's no way of signing an affidavit with Mervyn that I am the owner?
If you guys like a signed shareholder agreement, you can send it to me. That's fine. But the information I have, it's not. I know if I send that in, I have to be a filter. If I send that information over to underwriting, AJ, and it's not signed and it's dated today, they're going to think I'm hiding information. They're going to say, okay, there's something funny going on. And there's nothing funny going on. I understand someone helped you out, but I have to kind of, I have to address you as an underwriter and how they think, so I don't want to create an obstacle for you.
No, I totally understand. That's what I was saying. I don't know whether you got it or not. Maybe you did. But if we sign some sort of affidavit that I am the owner, that doesn't help. Is my name not on anything?
If you can, I mean, what I would do is I would talk to your accountant and say, hey, look, I'm trying to get a loan. How can I verify with the loan company that I'm 100% shareholder? Because I can't verify that. I mean, all it is the New York, and it's a New York company. I mean, that's because that's the question I would have. Why is your company filing tax returns in New York if you're registered in Florida? That's one thing I just don't understand still.
Like I said, I told you that. Maybe you didn't hear me or remember, but I've been using that account for 30 years.
No, not the accountant. The actual, why is the state tax return filed in New York? Or the tax return, not the state, the federal. I mean, if you look at it, the tax return is filed. Let's see. Oh, no, I'm sorry. So there's also a Florida tax return they include.
Yeah.
They have. All right,
that's where it was until 8 months ago.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. Yeah, I would just send me over the application for the, you know, with the Florida Corporation with your info on it, and I'll see if I can push it through.
All right. Let me ask you one more thing that just came to my mind.
Sure.
I told you that I filed an extension. If I were to come up with a real tax return by filing, you know, by finishing the extension instead of waiting until October, would that be a major help?
If it can prove verify, yeah, because you might have ownership structure in there that would verify actually the ownership of the business. Yeah, that would be helpful. But at the end of the day, underwriters are underwriters. They could still flag and say, hey, look, at the end of the day, it's an out-of-state ownership. This guy's on the bank statement. So, I mean, I can try. I just can't guarantee you anything. I just can't guarantee anything. I'm not allowed to.
No, I understand that. I'm just trying to make this work for both of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I still have my Florida license, and I still go back and forth. I don't know if that
helps. I mean, if you have a Florida residence as well, I'd put that on the application because then it wouldn't be out-of-state ownership. If you, you know, if you have both, then that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Now, I do have, the address doesn't match my license, so I don't know if that creates a problem.
I don't think anyone cares.
All right, so maybe we should try that. But in the meantime, put that one in. You said I need to do another application for...
Yeah,
you need
to sign an application for the Florida location, correct.
Yeah. You sent me that.
Oh, I sent it to you. You can just use the application I sent to you. You can just create another one.
Okay. And then there's the possibility that I can use my residence in Florida.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a Florida ID, you're probably a Florida resident.
I do. Okay.
Perfect. Hopefully we'll get this and get you an answer today.
Yeah, hopefully I'll get back to the computer soon. Won't be for several hours, but you're in a later time zone, so that probably will work.
Okay.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
You got it, man. I'm here to help. I'm sorry for all the confusion.
Nah, that's all right.
Thanks, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
See you later. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.